webcasting to the world.
You remember the moment you saw yourself and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for the 19th of May, 2016. Broadcasting from the home of redemptionism, where we love every train of thought visiting our station of freedom. We're coming to you from the GR Studios right here in Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee, for I believe this is the last time we're going to do this from here. We're moving our studios to Eva, Alabama. So prime, pristine, and pure it is. It was named after the first woman who ever lived. We want to advise our supporters and producers that as of the end of May 2016, you will no longer be able to use Podbean as your source for this podcast. Make the switch today to www.gospelrevolution.com, click on audio, then podcasts, and you can either listen online or download the full audio track. And hear from Houston, Texas, that great unteacher, the heretic's hope, the preacher's paradox, and the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Williams. Hello, Mr. Michael Williams. How are you?
Hello, Mr. Donald Beresford Bartlett. I am wonderful, and things are going well here in Houston.
I never gave you permission to put my name out on the public airwaves. I never did that.
Well, I don't care.
And that's what makes you so loved by so few.
That's why I'm so lovable, right?
Must be, mate.
And how is your day, my friend?
Oh, mate, my day is absolute. I feel like I died and went to heaven, mate. I feel so good about feeling so good today.
Well, I'm surprised you're not sore all over. And goodness, you've been pulling and pushing and painting and pulling and pushing and painting and ripping out carpet and pulling and pushing.
Painting and pulling out more carpet. Yep, you're right. We've had a lot of fun. Big thank you to Barry Laney from Cullman, Alabama, who came up and spent the weekend with me. He went home overnight.
Wow.
Went home overnight, but spent the weekend with me and just helped me wash all the walls down, ready for painting, and do a few other odd things we needed to get done.
Sweet fellow! My goodness,
he's a great guy, Barry. He is a great guy, and I've been down there 6 days out of the last seven. I stayed over once on the weekend, and the other nights I travel there and back every day. It's a 2.5 hour trip, so a 5 hour round trip, and I get to spend 1 hour with Laura when I get home. And I was so tired, I didn't realize how tired I was, Mike. But this old body can't do what it used to do. You know what I'm saying?
The old gray mare just ain't what she used to be, huh?
Yeah, and the old gray stallion ain't even a stallion. I don't know what to call him anymore. He's not a gelding, but he's not a stallion either. There has to be some. Hey, what's happening around the world for the GR, mate?
It's actually probably what's happening even closer to home this day.
Well, tell us about it.
Yeah. We've mentioned this before, and I'm actually more excited about what's happening with our brand new little family from Dover, New Hampshire, who are new gospel revolutionaries, or at least considering it. And they've considered it enough to get kicked out of church, so I would say that's probably seriously considering it.
Yeah, that's almost the point of no return.
It is indeed. And
actually thinking for yourself, or one of those aha moments, that's your point of no return, because I can't go back in there without opening my mouth out, and if I open my mouth out, I'll be getting kicked out. So yeah,
well, and that is the truth. And Derek and his wife are both just sweethearts, my goodness. And they're three children, goodness, they really are just a delightful family. And that little June, oh my goodness gracious, she is going to be daddy's concern by the time she gets to be a teenager, that's for sure.
Mate, I started, when my kids got that age, I started, I dressed them in overalls and started carrying a shotgun.
Well, I tell you what, I think even if they dress June in overalls, it's not going to do any good. Just one of the cutest little girls I think I've ever seen. And of course, their son is a very handsome fellow. And then they have a one-year-old. So
did the whole family come down and visit you?
No, they didn't. I have FaceTimed with them. Jeff told me that he had FaceTimed with the whole family also. They're really just kind of getting connected to everybody in the Gospel Revolution. Derek is a fairly prolific writer. This is all happening for him with understanding the gospel. And as he says that he doesn't understand more than he does understand. And I told him, welcome to the club. I've been doing this for 30 years and I still have more that I don't understand than I do understand. We think it's a healthy place to come from in the Gospel Revolution to have unanswered questions. This thing that we teach is dynamic in every way. We can talk about a subject we've talked about for the last 30 years and come up with a nuance that's like, oh, wow, I didn't know that. Well, look at that. Well, that changes this just a little bit. And we're all excited about it. You know, this is a learning station. If you are coming from this station of freedom, leaving from it, coming to it, or originating therefrom, it is a place to really be able to think things through. This has been really exciting. And this is happening around the world. It's just that Derek had the audacity to see my phone number on the website and thought, well, they put his phone number on there, so I'm going to call. And he did, I think, kind of expecting that there would not be a reply or an answer. And so we've been talking ever since. I know that he's had conversations with you, and you certainly have had the experience that I have in speaking with this young man. He and his wife are 30 years old, and as I said, they're still trying to come out of wintertime in Dover, New Hampshire. So Derek decided to make a trip to Houston, Texas, and he arrived on Thursday and stayed Friday and Saturday and then left very early on Sunday morning. Now, why I ever approved of that return time, I don't know, but evidently I did.
He had to go to church, probably.
Well, that got him back home by 11:30 on a four-hour flight, so that tells you how early it was here. So, yeah, this is what excites not just myself, but everybody in the Gospel Revolution is this ability to reach out and someone's thinking be so powerfully affected. And it's been a bit of an effort to communicate to Derek that this really is the opposite. He's not come to an organization that he is to serve and to be there for, but he's come to an organization that is here to serve him and to be there for him and his family. And there's been two or three little places along the way to where that reality, we had to reiterate that reality to him. And the time that we had together was pretty well wall-to-wall gospel and gospel issues. what the gospel is as compared to a whole lot of things. We had an extensive discussion about Mirror Bible and the entire thing that has grown up around Mirror Bible. He pointed some things out to me that I didn't know about it, and it was very, very helpful to me. Of course, the discussion that we've been involved in about the anger and the wrath, judgment, vengeance, and jealousy of God. I'm not trying to bore people by mentioning all five of those things, but we need to mention that it's there, that there's those and more consistent with describing God's relationship with mankind at a period of time in that relationship. So we discussed that a great deal, and we're able to have some, you know, some good insights about those things. The only time that we had a break from discussing just that was, of course, the time it took to watch Invictus, which I want to introduce everybody to. And it was, and Derek had never seen Invictus with Morgan Freeman and Matt Damon about the life of Nelson Mandela. And I still, oh my gosh, I encourage everybody, you know, I own my own copy of this. I watch it just ever so often. I doubt that I go more than 2 months without seeing it.
Okay,
again.
So it's a good movie, but why do you rewatch it? What do you get out of it?
It's about the gospel. It's without ever mentioning the gospel, without ever mentioning anything spiritual. It is grace. It is the gospel of peace. It is all these things that that we see the power of the gospel able to accomplish in a person's life. So, if you want to see a movie that takes everything that the gospel revolution teaches on and puts it into a perspective of the story of a man's life, this is the one to watch. It's the go-to. And I get inspired by it every time and really love it. And Derek, I think he wasn't expecting to be thoroughly impacted by it, maybe enjoy it, but he was thoroughly impacted by Invictus. I think my movie choices he will not doubt from here on in until I give him a bum steer, because I've got a kind of strange taste in movies occasionally.
So you had a visitor, Derek Hensel, and we're going to be hearing, I suspect, Mike, we're going to be hearing a lot more about this young man.
Most likely, unless I scare him off somehow. But I think it'd probably be you that scared him off. It wouldn't be me.
Just remember, I am your senior. A little respect, young fella. A little respect.
Little. Yeah, you said it right. Little. And I've got that.
Yeah, you do have it. You have little respect in spades. Hey, listen, someone I haven't heard anything from for a long time is Kim Novak. What's Kim doing for us?
Kim is now working on the Wikipedia page for Michael LeBourne Williams.
Excellent.
Yes. So that is her project that we're going to start on, and I thought it'd be a really good place to involve everyone with her and to get this Wikipedia page up. She is getting herself organized. She'll be getting in contact with you and Jeff and Glenn Klein and Victor Brennan and probably many other people in the
Revolution. Is that why you sent me an email with different email addresses on?
Did I send that to you?
Someone did, and apparently Jeff Robertson's email appears under Jeff Robertson and me, so no one knows. Which is, I really appreciate you doing that, because I don't want to be getting letters from everyone and having to answer them. And yeah.
Well, I'm hoping that I did not send that to, I intended to send that to Chris, so I'll have to check my email later to see if I also sent it to her.
Well, when you also send it, you might consider including my correct email address.
Oh, that's really?
Yeah, really.
Well, I copied it down from the email address I always use, at least thought I did. Anyway, I'll check it out.
You've got Jeff Robertson as my secretary, so he's going to get all my emails, which is fine by me because he can vet them, and I'm happy. I want to keep all that stuff at a distance, you know. Now, as we said at the top of the show, we are dropping our support for Podbean. In fact, Jeff Robertson, I think, has been dipping into his own pocket $20 a month for the last so long in order to keep that that site carrying the Powercast. And more power to him. I mean, this Jeff has been so loyal and so helpful in that respect. Now, well, in every respect. But something else he's been fantastic with is these videos of his, mate. This week he had one called Fear is a Poor Advisor, and the other one he did was The Important View of the Cross. Or was that The Impotent View of the Cross?
Yes, exactly. Not The Important.
These videos are great, Mike. What do you say?
Yeah, he's coming up with some good titles for
Well, he's a guy who titles our Powercasts, and the reason he does it is because he's worked with Google in the past, worked for Google in the past, and he knows what they're looking for in their search algorithms, so he tries to tailor the titles to that end. Yeah, you're right, he does come up with some great titles.
So, yeah, we do appreciate all of that. I know that that people listening do enjoy these little clips. I am also, another thing happening in the Gospel Revolution is that I will be making a trip very soon to Michigan to spend several days with our own Randy French. And we have plans to do a series of video clips that will, I think I'm going to be settling on about 30 minutes per clip. I talked to Jeff about the success of his and the longer ones that we have, and I was under the mistaken impression that the short clips were the most viewed by virtue of the length of time, and he told me that that wasn't true. He said the clips on there that I have that are an hour long are actually the ones that are the most viewed.
Well, TED Talks, most of our people will know about TED Talks. They're on Netflix and they're on on the web. TED Talks have a very interesting policy, 18 minutes.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
how long you can hold an audience for, if they're even interested in what you're talking about.
Well, we may adopt that into the format. I'm just not sure exactly. I'm not going to be doing 1 hour videos, but I want to record. I think Randy and I decided that we could record at least five a day. We could possibly get as many as 10 a day, and he was concerned about how taxing that might be on me and coming up with material.
Oh, mate, you can talk the leg off an iron chair, and you can do it spontaneously.
So I don't think that's going to be a problem. I think Randy may have been trying to protect his own interest for a bit.
He might have. Yeah, well, maybe he's the one.
Afraid that the old man might outpace him here. But Randy is very gracious. He's such a I know that we do not mention Randy French enough on the Powercast or our communications with people. I hope that people understand what a vital, vital role that this man plays in the Gospel Revolution.
He's a key figure.
There is nothing that goes to air that I do that that Randy does not edit and bring it to its best quality. Also, between you, Barris, and Randy, a lot of things of just delays, repetition can even be taken out to where that these CDs, especially the CDs, can be the very best quality that they can be. And Randy French has a studio. He's done recording for major music artists all over the U.S. And the studio in his home would rival Disney. So to have someone like this who called me, in fact, just about 2 weeks ago, to ask me if I understood how all in he is. It was just one of the most wonderful calls, and he wanted to make sure that I was not underestimating his commitment to me and to the Gospel Revolution to do whatever was within his power to get this message out.
You're on your way up to your friend of mine, Randy French. You know, I've learned so much about sound editing, and I'd done a bit of sound editing in the past, but I've learned so much more from Randy. Randy helps me understand the technical crap, you know.
The extreme detail technical.
You are not kidding. This guy is a detail. I mean, he's a detail, but great, because now I'm putting out a better product with the PowerCast. People will have noticed. I went and listened to some of the early PowerCasts and compared them with the ones we're doing now. And just sound quality, it's head and shoulders above. And you can thank Randy for that.
Oh, absolutely, and that has always been such a vital concern, but I've just never had, previous to Randy, never had anyone to help us know which recorder to use, know the settings, all the way from the specific recorder we use all the way down to the final edit on these things. Randy is in charge of every bit of it. So if you're listening to a clear CD, stop just a moment and say thank you, Randy French. This would cost tens of thousands of dollars that it would have cost us over the years.
How many days are you staying with Randy?
Indeterminate.
That's the way to do it.
I might just stay the summer. I don't know.
Well, that's what he does.
Depends on how good the food is and stuff.
Oh, mate, I'll bet you're in for a good time. I mean, Randy spends half the year in Florida and half the year in, is it Minnesota?
No, in Michigan. Yeah.
Well, he's,
maybe I can, after a while, just talk him into leaving and let me stay there.
Yeah. Good luck with that, mate. Oh, this week, we got an email, Michael, and it was from our good friend Wayne Leese. And Wayne wrote, "Hello, Mike. You said you would like," and the subject is the May the 6th PowerCast. Mm-hmm. "You said you would like some responses for the issue of an angry God."
Oh, no. And he responded?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, what are we going to do?
Could be the end of the rainbow for us. "I spent some time looking into the scriptures to look for first mention of killing, anger, and vengeance. It seems like these things happened on the earth first. I wonder if in God's compassion, he started to take on our failure. Just thinking out loud. Thanks so very much for all you're doing, my dear brother, Wayne Leese."
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what we love about our gospel revolutionaries. They will bring up things, a vein of thought that gives us, you got to open your brain. Now, folks, we love for you to open your brain. We don't want you to let your brain fall out, but do open your brain, open your mind. It clears it. See, when there's no threat of guilt and judgment, you can think your way through things. But if you have a predisposition...
Hang on, are you saying... I just want you to rephrase that, because it just banged in on my brains. What you're saying is if you're not afraid of the result of thinking differently than you've always thought, then you're going to be freer to think creatively. Is that what...
Yes, and that's what the gospel does first. I mean, it takes away guilt and judgment. I don't think I will ever be able to communicate with the strength and the necessity that I believe people need to understand, that the gospel adds nothing to your life. I could say it 1,000 times and still realize I don't even get it yet. Everything that needed to be added to our life was added at the cross. All things added were added at the cross. Everything that needs to be taken away, now that everything has been added, the righteousness has been added, the holiness has been added, being one with God has been added, all of that was completed at the cross. Now the gospel is there to remove from our thinking the guilt and the judgment that was there before and has been reinstalled or re-downloaded, if you will, by Christianity and other religions. This was all eradicated through the process of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So let the gospel remove these things. And in the removal of these things, that's where you find your place to think and to think freely. The only way you can think freely is, as you were helping me say, the only way you can think freely is to not fear the consequence of your thoughts. Mm. So when you allow the gospel to take out that fear, then you can throw things out there, you know, and say something like Wayne has said to us here. There's a lot of things that we can look at pertaining to this subject about God's anger and wrath. I was thinking yesterday and sent a text off to Derek and said to him, you know, well, you know, is it possible? These are not doctrinal statements. These are statements to get us to open our mind to think. Is it possible that God was preparing himself by experiencing anger, wrath, and judgment and horrific things? Was he preparing himself for the experience of living in man?
Wow.
And then here, look what Wayne has said. Now read that once again, Barris, just the part of the statement about his contemplation about what if.
I spent some time looking into the scriptures to look for first mention of killing, anger, and vengeance. It seems these things happened on the earth first. I wonder if in God's compassion he started to take on our failure. You know, what strikes me about that sentence, we have no worries saying that Jesus took on our sin at the cross. He took on our failure. So that really intrigues me now. I wonder if in God's compassion he started to take on our failure.
Well, and you know this, of course, with Jesus is God and God is Jesus. And we have Paul's understanding that he was not someone that was not touched by the feelings of our weaknesses. And he's not just talking about, you know, we see those term weaknesses and we think sex, drugs, rock and roll and accompanying subjects. But what about anger? What about wrath? What about judgment? By going through this process himself, was he preparing himself for this experience of being completely integrated into the human race? So, and these are all possibilities. Now, the reason that we think about these possibilities is because we're not going to change the scriptures to accommodate our conscience. I can't do that, Barris. I cannot change the scriptures to accommodate my conscience. I can't go back. And a lot of people are saying that they just cannot accept that God was ever angry, or all the other four words that are associated with that. But folks, if we accept what the scriptures say, then we can free our minds to think within that. But the day that we have to go back and change Scripture to accommodate our conscience, we're in trouble. There are no contradictions in the law. You break one, you broke them all. There are no contradictions with the prophets as to what was being foretold about the work of Christ. Even though these guys lived hundreds of years apart from each other, they don't contradict themselves about the Christ. They don't contradict themselves about the Christ. Not only that, Paris, but to the iota, as best as we can understand, what he would achieve in his mission. So in that, there is no contradiction. And the big picture is what I'm always looking at. Now, we get to the New Testament, and you try to make a big picture out of the teachings of Paul and Peter, James, and John. Woo, you got contradictions. And that are contradictions to the big picture, not just nuances of, you know, well, what about this to that, but entire books that disagree with each other. So in the Scriptures, the law doesn't contradict the law. The prophets don't contradict the prophets. And so then what we do then is try to maintain that view of the law and the prophets, that they have a great consistency to them that overall just seems to be irrefutable. There is not a mishmash of laws and possible consequences. All law leads to death.
And the consequences to the law were all quite certain.
And very certain, and the results of prophecy all were quite certain. Now, and again, here we are talking about this issue of the wrath of God. In a bit, I would like for us to read down through Amos chapter 3, at least the first 7 verses. Here's the difficult thing. I've been looking at this, Bears, as you know, every way that I can. When Derek was here, we watched videos from the speakers of what I now call mystic Christianity. When you are able to take any religion and then dismiss its writings to come up with your definition, then that's mysticism, to come up with everything's good, everything's wonderful, everything's fine, you're good, I'm good. And yet not base that in text of the religion that the mysticism represents, that the mystic represents. That's mysticism. And I love me some good mystics, you know, there. They come up with some really great things. But mysticism is based in experience. Nothing wrong with experiences. But then if you watch anything about the mystics, they're all about recreating the experience that made them feel so good and just know that everything is all great. And then their job is to try to help other people have that experience.
Mani Padme.
Yeah. Exactly. Great people. But I thought they were all very peaceful at all times. I mean, that's what they present, is that they have achieved this state of mind because of this experience. And then you see Deepak Chopra, his own son, recording a day in the life of Deepak, and this man's off the chain.
Hey, listen, do you remember, because I was telling Barry Laney about this and I couldn't remember the name of it, do you remember a couple of years ago we had a movie that was on YouTube, and the story was this young man who'd never been religious in his life took on the persona of a swami, went out to Arizona somewhere, and got a whole bunch of followers. And when he actually, several months later, disclosed to them that he wasn't what he appeared to be, they, you know, a third of them left, but all the rest still wanted him to teach them.
Yeah, they didn't care.
What's the name of that?
Kumari.
K-U-M-A-R-I, Kumari.
Yes, or E. I think it might have an E on the end.
Family, if you want a wake-up call, And if you want, if you want to understand what happened to you in religion, Kumari, K-U-M-A-R-E, get it off YouTube and watch it. And I promise you, you will never forget it. You'll take the memory of that to your death.
It's very powerful, very insightful. And the results were wholly unintended. This man wound up at the end of it. He was just going to kind of fun try to try this out and just see how gullible people were. And he wound up not wanting to let go of this whole thing he knew was fake because he didn't want to disappoint these beautiful, sweet, wonderful people who had poured their hearts out to him, and it seemed to actually work. And it started out as a complete fake. So give you the insight into the psyche.
Well, all he was doing was telling him the gospel. He was just saying that the truth is within you. That's all he was telling him.
Constantly. He never told them anything that he thought.
The light is within you. You look inside for the light.
All the time. The blue light.
The blue light.
It was the blue light. And he got that from Walmart.
All the blue lights I've ever seen, mate, never instilled love and peace in me. I'm telling you right now.
And people were swearing by the blue light. You know, it's the blue light. You don't understand. If you only understood the blue light, you'd experience this peace. This peace that I got. And it was Walmart that was giving them this peace. So.
Oh, Lord, that's now, you were talking about Amos.
Yes.
Chapter 3, verse 7, I think you mentioned.
Amos chapter 3. And this is a verse. Actually, Jeff called me the other day. Again, trying to find the verse that I was paraphrasing in my book, and probably should have done a better job at doing that. But all the way down through chapter 3, verse 7. In the book of Amos, number one, I encourage everybody to read the entire book of Amos and see if there is any possible way that you can come to any conclusion by reading this in context that God wasn't angry at these folks. And he wasn't just angry at Israel, but he goes through several groups of people that he was angry with and then said, you know, now, Israel, you're the only family that I've ever, ever chosen.
Oh, mate, I'm reading verse 2 right now. Can I just, I got to interrupt. He says, hear the word of the Lord. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Now, you know, get this. You want to know what that word known is? You only have I known?
What does it
Yada.
Mean? Yeah.
You only have I been intimately acquainted with of all the families of the earth. You only have I kinned to myself of all the families of the earth. So guess what you get for being the chosen people? I'm going to punish you. No wonder they called it. What was Amos, the weeping prophet?
No wonder he was weeping. Yeah. So here we have this, and he says, he tells him, I'm going to punish you.
Oh, my God.
He's not punishing the problem. He's not punishing the situation. He says he's punishing them. And then makes the statement, the one that is pulled out of context. Of course, everybody knows this next verse, Barris. What does that verse number 3 say? See if anybody recognizes it.
Can two walk together except they be?
Agreed.
Well, that's why you asked me to read that verse, because you saw my face. I was just looking at the Hebrew, and it's yad or yad. It's the same root as yada, and it means to be, you know, let the two become one. In the marriage bed, let the two become one. Let the two become intimate. Let them become kin. Let them become one. So can two walk together unless they be, except they be one?
Yeah, isn't that wonderful?
I wish you wouldn't. You're bashing my brains in this one. I wish you wouldn't do that.
Now, tell me what the word "together" means. Then, if it's if this is taking on a hue that we didn't fully understand before, look at the word "together."
Without going into other instances of the usage of these words in Hebrew, I'm a little bit less than perfect in my translations here, but it means a unit. Can two walk as a unit unless they be engaged?
Wow, so even the word "together" doesn't mean two entities. It means...
Yeah, totally united, totally...
Isn't that amazing? Now, see how intricate the Hebrew is here? And here we have discovered that the word "agreed" doesn't mean what we thought it meant. Therefore, you see, you have to assume that the word "together" doesn't mean what we thought it meant either. And indeed, guess what? Voila! But we're willing to reach into this and completely extricate from it the statement before, "I will punish you." And then verse 4. Read, Barris.
Will a lion roar in the forest? What this is like, if a man's in the forest or a tree falls, will anyone hear it? If a man shouts in the forest, will he still be wrong? Verse 4. Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has taken nothing? If he has, I presume, not caught any prey?
Finish verse 5 and 6 because it's the same.
Thought, isn't it? It is. Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no trap is set for him? Shall one take up...
Oh, I thought that said gin. I thought he was found a good drink.
It does
there,
say gin, where no gin is for him. Can a bearus come home and relax where there is no gin for him? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no trap is set for him? Shall one take up a trap from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall one take up a snare and never have caught anything in it? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be an evil in a city and the Lord has not done it? What? What? The only evil that happens in cities is what the Lord's done?
Now look up the word "evil."
Evil is a cute little word, ra. And it just means bad.
Yeah. So here, he's attributing all of this at this time to God. Now, we're going to take up verse 7 in just a bit.
So if the water runs dry, God's to blame.
Well, that's what he's saying here pertaining to this. Now, what he's doing is giving a solid argument to this iniquity and punishment. If there's iniquity, there's going to be punishment. Now, these are all descriptions of that, Barris. Every one of these are descriptions of that. If there's iniquity, is there punishment? So he says, so how simple is this? Will a lion roar in the forest when he had no prey?
It's just that simple.
It's that simple. That's how simple iniquity and punishment are. Now, let me show you a little bit of something in verse 2 of Amos chapter 1, just to show you the consistency of this man's writing. Verse 2, and he saith, "The Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem."
Where are you?
Chapter 1, verse 2.
Got it.
"The Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn." They will mourn at the top of Carmel, and the top of Carmel shall wither. Now, this is... he is comparing God dealing with iniquity as a lion roaring already. So who's the lion? See, the writer has established who the lion is. I wouldn't doubt that we go back and we find out that every one of these have already been mentioned here. So he's already established not only these comparisons, but that God fills all of these shoots, just so that we are sure to get it. Why is it important for us to get it? If we don't get this in these prophecies. Now, these prophecies were made based on the books of Moses. No prophecy came until after Moses wrote, until Moses gave the law. Prophecy came out of law. Prophecy came out of law. That is why, if law is fulfilled, there can't be any prophecy left. Because all prophecy was hanging from the law, inspired by the law. Its parameters were dictated by the law. It all came after the law. That's why Jesus makes this incredible statement that that he didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. That not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law till all prophecy be fulfilled. It's not possible for the law to be fulfilled, for the law to be taken away, and there be prophecy yet to be fulfilled. It ain't possible. It's not possible. It's like a house burning down and saying, but the living room couch is still sitting there perfectly okay. Well, then if the house is burned down and everything is consumed, then not just the house is burned down, but its contents are also consumed. You're not going to burn down the house and the furniture be okay. It's not going to happen. You've never seen a house burn down, walls burn down to the ground, and all the furniture remain intact, or any of the furniture remain intact. This is how connected that the law and the prophets are. This is how they functioned as one. So if I change Moses, who gave us what we went through in Exodus chapter 19 and 20, if I change that, there is no prophet who could have prophesied accurately. Now, does anybody remember what the consequences are in the law for a prophet prophesying inaccurately? Voila! Isn't it strange? That prophet has to be stoned to death. Why would that be so severe? Because the prophets are prophesying based on the law that was given. So the extenuating fact that if you prophesy incorrectly, then that also is going to lead to death. Because it is tantamount to breaking the law. So all of this has been given to them. Now, out of that is what we derive the gospel from, according to Jesus. Jesus said, this is where you're going to find out this truth about him. People may wonder why I'm being so adamant about this issue. Not because we're trying to put somebody down, but because there are things inferred here to bring people to a mind jump from that God was angry, as the scriptures say, as the prophets prophesied about, all the way to that he never was angry, that we were always this all the way from the beginning. Now, Bears, I can understand, and we embrace, I totally embrace, that God had a plan from the beginning. That does not preclude that things happened along the way during this plan. We don't have to say that God came up with a plan B. Just because the story evolved does not mean that the plan wasn't always to bring us to this wonderful point of being one. But what the God is not angry whole theology is presuming is that the cross was unnecessary except for being a revelation. It did not accomplish anything that was not already established before, that it was simply and only a revelation. And I don't concur with that. And neither does the scriptures concur with that. The prophets foretold of a time when all of this would be remedied. Foreknown, unforeknown, whatever you might think about that, the one thing that we can't take away from this is the work of the cross and what it accomplished.
Now, let me have a look at verse 2 of chapter 1 again. And Amos said, the Lord will roar from Zion, and as you say, that he's already identified the line, and utter his voice from Jerusalem. Well, the only time that we really know that that actually occurred was through Jesus, I'm going to say. And the habitations of the shepherds, who are the shepherds? The shepherds are the people who claim to lead the sheep. Who would that have been in Jesus' day? That would have been the Pharisees and Sadducees. And where did they habitate? The temples and the seats of learning. So the habitations of the shepherds will mourn. They'll wail. They'll bewail themselves. Which is exactly the state of flux into which Jesus set them against each other. Sadducees, who didn't believe in the resurrection. Pharisees, who did believe strongly in the resurrection. And they're fighting each other and wailing at each other and also wanting to seek out a chance to kill Jesus. And the third thing that will happen is that the top of Carmel shall wither. Now, Carmel is the site of, as you know, Mike, Carmel is the site of the big contest between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Carmel was where the groves of Baal that were where they'd carved trees into huge penises as an object of worship and other things like that. And when some of the kings came in, they destroyed all those groves, and other kings let the groves continue. So how would we interpret, and the top of Carmel shall wither? Well, where there is no law, there is no trespass. And in the law it says, you won't have any other gods before me. And the top of Carmel shall wither. The law is going to wither. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Wow, that's beautiful.
Mike, well, if you hadn't took me here, I wouldn't have gotten distracted by it, but it's just gorgeous.
You just did that, didn't you?
I just did that. Now, did you want to go on to verse 7 of chapter 2?
Let's read 7, since that was the whole rhyme for the reason here. Read, Bears.
That pen.
I said read, Bears.
I say read, boy. Oh, it's chapter 3. I was in chapter 2. Oh, I like this. I used to be a prophet, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets.
Now, this is one of those hang my hat verses.
Well, hang on.
When
we did hang our hats, I distinctly remember the word. In fact, I just read through twice. I had to stop myself, which I edited out. But we knew this as, surely the Lord God will do nothing except he first reveals it to his servants. It ain't in there, as you so eloquently pointed out to me.
Yeah, I mean, first is implied, but...
Well, yeah, but it's not... It's very useful to the Pentecostal flavor of theology if the word first is in
And Pentecostals do this also. Man, they pull this out and they make the prophets as something that happens on Sunday morning, you know. Thus saith the Lord, you know, I'm gonna bless your business and... cause everything to prosper and go well.
Even this day, my son, the Lord would say unto thee.
Even this day.
So no. I don't know where we got all that language from.
Why not uneven this day? Why does it have to be even? But yeah, and here we pull this out. And, you know, and then, of course, that addicts us to prophets because if God's going to do it.
Hang on. What did you just say it does?
It addicts us to prophecy.
Oh, that's choice. That's so true.
Yeah. Because if God does nothing unless the prophets say it, we need a word. You know, give me a word. I always wondered why we became so addicted to getting a word. Well, here's the reason. Because unless it came through a prophet, God wasn't going to do it.
Is that like when the Lord said that Ted Cruz was going to be our next president?
And right now, it's still a possibility from the way people are talking that it might even possibly be. Who knows what's going to happen in this election cycle?
I saw a little thing on Facebook, and they named off, they must have named off six different candidates over probably three different election cycles. And they all said the same thing. The Lord has told me I should run for president.
Yes.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, it really is amazing. But so we did become obsessed with prophecy. And, you know, here's a place, oh my gosh. I hope that the guys in prophecy don't catch this as strongly as they could, because they could get an entire church to accept that unless you come and get a prophecy, God ain't going to do anything for you. You want a good marriage? It's got to be prophesied first. You want a new car? You better come and get it prophesied first. And guess what? It'll be connected with getting those prophecies. You got to pay for them.
Yeah, I've often thought if I got a new car through prophecy, it better be paid for, not prayed for.
Not prayed for, but paid for, yeah.
So what's he saying here? Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he reveals his secrets, or his secret. Oh, God, that's interesting. His secret.
Mm-hmm.
His secret. When I was sharing on God's eternal overarching plan in Calgary last, I may have referred to this verse, but God has had a secret.
Yes. And as Paul said, a mystery.
A mystery, yeah.
Yes. This mystery that was hidden for our benefit, this incredible mystery that is now revealed. And it's even with the verse that we quoted a couple of PowerCasts ago, I have not seen or heard nor entered into the heart of man.
Mm.
Barris, that's not a verse that we should be taking for, oh, well, you know, I still hasn't seen, I hasn't heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. Because if you go on down in that statement, he says, but God hath revealed it unto us by his Spirit, or through the Spirit. And we don't live in an I have not seen nor ear heard nor entered into the heart of man. We don't live in that place anymore. This mystery was revealed in Christ and at the cross. This secret was made known at that time. Now, we may not see it, but it's not because that it hasn't been revealed. But it's not because the mystery is no longer a mystery. It's not because the secret is no longer a secret. It is only because of the things that religion has added to our thinking to keep us from seeing the conclusion of this incredible work that took place at the cross. So surely the Lord will do nothing, but he reveals this secret unto his servants through the prophets. It had to be prophesied, and prophesied it was. So the intricacy of this becomes so vitally important. If it had to be prophesied first, and all prophecy is based on the law, and if Moses got it wrong, how could the prophets possibly have gotten it right? And how could what we understand the gospel to be possibly be right if any one of those were wrong. It's just not possible that that is that they got it wrong. Now, do we have room to still understand and grow in this? Oh my gosh! As we said at the top of the hour, we have more that we don't know and understand than we do know and that we understand. Folks, this is a gospel revolution. We are learning, we are excited about what we've learned, and we're equally as excited about what we do not know.
And that's so true.
It is. My goodness. I mean, that my excitement about this journey is not even so much in what I know, it's what I don't know. And what a wonderful place to be in. We in every religion that I can think of, man, they've got to have everything down pat exact. And let me tell you, the gospel is very exact. But we're not telling you that there's things that that there's absolutely nothing that we have, number one, incorrect. And there's nothing that we're saying that is we're saying is absolute complete in its thought. Do I believe it's correct? Do I, with everything that's in me, do I understand that the gospel of peace and gospel of grace as presented by Mike Williams Ministries is correct? You better believe it. Because if it wasn't, the thing you would be hearing from me would be, I have changed my mind, which I have done hundreds of times. But a lot of people are uncomfortable with that. And let me tell you, if you want to be a part of some kind of a spiritual affiliation, and the only thing that's going to make you comfortable is that there is no flux, there is no progression of understanding, there's no changing your mind, you've found the wrong place. Because I simply refuse to know how wrong I got it, how wrong those that taught me got it, to come to where I am, to think that there's not a possibility that we could possibly grow in a lot of areas, and things that we haven't even looked at yet. So it's an exciting future, folks. Goodness, it's exciting. Oh my gosh, it's exciting. And we're going to bring these things to you the best of our ability. We admit that even that is flawed. There is nothing that frustrates me more than this gospel being so grand, so magnificent, so wonderful. I can't help but know that I am inadequate at being able to express it to the full, to what I have a comprehension of, which, thank God for the Holy Ghost, the great teacher, that half the time, the things that I teach, I've never heard before and never taught before. I'm so grateful for that, because without that, I don't know that I would be any place in understanding the gospel at all.
And so it is that we must leave you, family and friends. Remember this, that the concepts of heresy and blasphemy were invented by religion for the sole purpose of defending doctrines that could not defend themselves. Don't forget to visit www.theteacherwithin.com and order your copy of Touching Spirit, The Letters of Minniminiki. This was written by our great buddy Pep Washburn, a GR for many years, and has written a book that has gotten some of the best rave reviews I have ever read. Go to Amazon. It's a 5-star product on Amazon and in the top 1% of all, I think it's spiritual book sales. I don't know off the top of my head what it costs, but whatever they want, give it to them. Get the book and read it. And you can get the Kindle book for much less as well. We run a value for value model here, and it costs us time, cash, and energy to research, produce, and maintain this free product. This value for value model is the only way we feel that we can present the gospel freely and unhindered. We don't have to kowtow to somebody else's advertising demands. We don't have to kowtow to somebody else's beliefs. By keeping this free, this way we can present the gospel freely and unhindered. So, if you feel that you've received real value from this podcast, then I'm asking you to seriously consider donating towards it. Why don't you stick your hand in your pocket? Why don't you call area code 321-220-4373 and speak to Jeff Robertson about how you can participate, or go to www.gospelrevolution.com and just simply hit the donate link. It's right up there at the top of the page. You can't miss it unless you're deliberately trying to. And remember that you can help support us in ways other than cash as well. Anything you can do to help the gospel can make all the difference for somebody else just like you who are starting their own journey towards thinking for themselves. Perhaps you'd like to invite Mike to your area? It's easier than you might think. Call our office on the number we just mentioned with details when, where, and why, and we will make it happen. You want to leave a message for Mike or a question for him to answer? Dial area code 234-564-0971 and leave a voicemail. So now, it's good night from myself, Beres Bartlett, from the GR Studios in Nashville, Tennessee.
And it is. And it is good night from Michael Williams here in beautiful Houston, Texas. We appreciate you guys taking this wild ride with us. Right when you thought we had it all ironed out, here we are in the thick of it again. I love this stuff. We love the people that agree with us, and we love the people that disagree with us.
But mostly we love the people who give us money, don't we?
And we absolutely see no difference in the two. Sometimes those that disagree with us are those that cause us to learn the most.
Mm.
So we love you guys. When we express disagreement with others out there, you've got to realize that as we do not take it as an insult when they disagree with us, we certainly are not intending any insult in a disagreement, but to stir a conversation. We're not going to shut down when people have questions for us or when people question us. We hope, even though it's not been what we've seen in the past, that when we question them and have questions for them, that they don't shut down and not respond to us. We don't do it. Guys, please don't do it either. We want to continue this discussion and learn from each other. We love you so much, and we will be back again. I'll guarantee it.
We hope you enjoyed today's PowerCast, but if you didn't, remember, just because you're offended, it doesn't mean you're right. So if you prefer learning how to think to being told what to think, then join us again next week, same time, same channel, where we're going to do the same thing all over again.
Better.